We got a Bible reading from, which is Jonah chapter 2. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land."
Will you join me in prayer again? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus and that you welcome us to cry out to you. Lord, we pray that you will speak to us by your Spirit. As we come to your word, I pray that you will direct my words and that you will be at work in the heart of each person here. Lord, we pray that you will help us to see the reality of you, your power and your love amidst the reality of this world, which can often be really hard. Thank you for who you are and what you offer us so freely. Amen. There is a staggering amount of suffering in this world. Sometimes we feel desperate, overwhelmed, like waves of trouble have been crashing over your head and now you feel like you're sinking down into the depths. If you haven't experienced those depths yet, be thankful. But it's almost certain that you will be down in the depths sometime in this life. And I fully expect that there will be some people here today now who feel they're down there at the moment. Today we look at the prayer of a man who is literally down in the depths. We look at the prayer Jonah prayed to God from the belly of the whale. Now, we started to look at the book of Jonah last week. If you missed it, you may have heard of Jonah anyway, because Jonah is one of the more famous people in the Old Testament. Jonah was a prophet of God in Israel at a time when the Assyrian military dominated the entire region. The Assyrians were brutal. The Assyrians didn't hide their crimes against humanity or deny them. The Assyrians made mosaics of their war crimes and put them on the walls of their palaces. So there were other things on the walls too, but visiting ambassadors, you could imagine them coming in to meet the Assyrian king, and they would get a very clear message about what could happen if you didn't do what they wanted. Now, Jonah is a Jew. One of the people who suffered, one of the people groups that have suffered under the Assyrian cruelty. And Jonah, God commands Jonah to go to Nineveh, to the Assyrian capital. And Jonah is to warn the Assyrians that God sees their wickedness. and God will bring just judgment. Jonah does not want to go and warn the Assyrians. It's not a pleasant task, and even if they turn, he doesn't want them to be forgiven. So Jonah directly disobeys God. Jonah runs away in the opposite direction. Instead of going up inland to Assyria, Jonah goes down to the coast and gets on a boat heading in the opposite direction. As Pastor Mike highlighted last week, Jonah starts going down, trying to get away from God. And it turns out his journey takes him further and further down. God sends a great storm against that boat, and the sailors know that the storm will destroy the boat. And Jonah knows that the storm has been sent from God because of his disobedience. You cannot run away from God. Jonah tells the sailors to throw him overboard, and eventually they agree to it. They throw him over, and Jonah sinks down into the waves. God, in his mercy, then stops the storm and saves the boat. And God, in his mercy, sends a whale to swallow Jonah. And that's where we are, where we pick up the story today, as Jonah cries out to God from the belly of the whale. In the prayer we have recorded in the scriptures in Jonah chapter 2. One of the really remarkable things about this prayer is that Jonah has the audacity to pray this prayer at all. See, some would say Jonah must have a real nerve praying to God after what he's done. But as he returns to thinking about God, Jonah knows that God welcomes his people to cry out to him. God always welcomes you to cry out to him. Do you ever feel like God shouldn't listen to your prayer, or like God couldn't listen to your prayer? Maybe you feel like you are too much of a sinner. Maybe you're deeply aware of the ways you've rejected God in the past. Maybe you've failed God recently and you feel the burning shame. Maybe you feel God would not want to listen to you after what you've done. Can I encourage you to think about Jonah? Jonah has rejected a direct command from God. Jonah deliberately headed in the opposite direction to where he knew God wanted him to go. But as he came to his senses, Jonah cried out to God, and God not only heard Jonah's prayer, God caused this prayer to be recorded in the Bible for you and I to read today. God welcomes you to cry out to him, even if you know you have sinned. Jesus reinforces this in Luke 15 with the parable of the prodigal son, and in Luke 18 with the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. God welcomes you to cry out to him, even when you've sinned. And God welcomes you to cry out to him no matter how you're feeling. Sometimes I talk with people who think that God would only want to hear them when they feel good, as if they need to get their emotions under control before God will listen to them, or as if God only listens to prayers that start with joyful praise. But do you think that's where Jonah was at when he would have started praying? Was that where he was feeling before he prayed to God? Listen to what Jonah says in verse 1. In my distress, I called to the Lord. And in verse 7. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. God wants you to know that God welcomes you to cry out to him, no matter how you're feeling. And God welcomes you to cry out to him, whether at the moment you can see hope or not. Now, see, as Jonah prays this prayer that we have in Jonah 2, Jonah is still down in the depths, literally. He's stuck in the stinking dark belly of a whale with no control over his future at all. And Jonah looks back in the prayer to when to the prayer that to earlier prayers he'd cried out when he had even less hope. Let me read to you from Jonah's prayer again. So Jonah remembers crying to God when he had no help at all. From verse 2, Jonah says, "Well, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called to you, called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." Jonah cried out to God when he knew he had sinned. He cried out when he was completely desperate. He cried out when everything looked hopeless. And God welcomes you to cry out to him even when you have sinned. God welcomes you to cry out to him no matter what you're feeling. God welcomes you to cry out to him whether you could see hope or not. We know this from this prayer here in Jonah 2, and we also know this from the Psalms. The book of Psalms is a collection of 150 poems and songs that God's Holy Spirit preserved for us in the Bible. It's right in the middle of the Bible. The most famous ones, I suppose, a lot of them are the praise psalms. Praise the Lord, quite a number of them start. And there are joyful psalms. And there are psalms of peaceful trust, like the famous Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But there are also psalms of desperation, like Psalm 13. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Psalms of anger, like Psalm 35, which starts, "Contend, Lord, with those who contend against me. Fight against those who fight against me." And it continues as David asks God to violently strike his enemies. The Psalms have been called a gymnasium for the soul. In the Psalms, we can work out every emotional muscle in relationship with God. The Psalms show us that God is not scared of any of your emotions. If you are feeling really powerful emotions, it actually might not be quite so wise to express it to your family. Sometimes they can't handle that, even if you've got a really loving family. Might have to get it under control before you tell them about it. But it is always safe to express all your emotions to God. Your loving Heavenly Father can handle anything you throw at him. God, when you're feeling overwhelmed, God doesn't want you to run away from him. God wants you to run to him. Personally, in seasons when I felt overwhelmed, I've kept coming back to the Psalms. In some of the dark times, I've known that it's good to read the Bible and good to get more of God's perspective. It is actually really helpful for you. But sometimes I've just struggled to read the letters or the prophets. But the Psalms have been my refuge. Reading the Psalms helped me run to God. The Psalms helped me work through the turmoil inside in relationship with God. Sometimes when I've got no words, the Psalms have been my words. In desperate times, I also find refuge in the Gospels and in the Lord's Prayer. But the Psalms are just so good. The Psalms are the prayer book that Christians and Jews have used for thousands of years. God's gift to us. When I'm in a mess and cannot find words, the Psalms are such a blessing. When Jonah was in a mess, down in the belly of the whale, where do you think Jonah turned to find words for his prayer? To the Psalms. Jonah's prayer is full of quote after quote from different Psalms. Here's a slide showing seven of the Psalms Jonah quotes from. And there are multiple references and allusions to other Psalms as well. Jonah opens and closes with quotes from Psalm 18, Psalm 18 is a psalm King David wrote after God had given him victories and salvation, sort of restoration afterwards. Psalm 18 is a psalm of confidence in God after things have improved. Let me read aloud. Psalm 18 starts, "I love you, Lord, my strength." You feel the confidence, the love there. He remembers the bad times, so I'll read verses 3 to 6. "I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." That there are direct quotes from Psalm 18 and Jonah's prayer, and Jonah also refers to ideas in Jonah and other ideas in Psalm without using the exact words. So Jonah quotes from this confident Psalm, Psalm 18, but Jonah also quotes from Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is a psalm of desperation. Let me read verses 6 to 8 of Psalm 88. "You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depth. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your ways. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief." It's interesting that Psalm 88 comes to Jonah as he prays. Psalm 88 is one of the most desperate psalms. In the majority of the desperate or angry psalms, the psalmist starts off in the desperate or angry place. And then as he gets more perspective, as he cries out to God, expresses himself to God, he feels a bit better by the end of the psalm. When we cry out to God and get some perspective, it usually helps us feel better. Usually. But not always. Sometimes even when we cry out to God, even when we're getting some better perspective, we still feel rotten. And the Psalms recognize this. There are a few Psalms, like Psalm 88, where the Psalm is still in a dark place at the end of the Psalm. So Psalm 88 finishes, "Darkness is my closest friend." And this is Psalm 88 that Jonah quotes in his cry from the belly of the whale. I wonder, maybe Jonah still has waves of desperation rolling over him, even as Jonah is growing in his confidence at God's salvation. Sometimes we get those different waves of emotion come, even as we're getting better perspective. But I don't know. There's a lot that we can't know about Jonah and his situation. But I'll tell you one thing I'm really confident of. I'm confident that Jonah is not sitting there with a scroll reading Psalms in the belly of the whale. He would not have been taking expensive psalm scrolls when he was running away, let alone when he was thrown into the ocean. And in the belly of a whale, there is not much good light for reading by. Jonah knew the Psalms before his time of crisis. Jonah, like many Jews and Christians across the ages, was already very familiar with the Psalms. Jonah had spent a lot of time in the Psalms, a lot of time in the gymnasium of the soul. I love the picture of the Psalms as a gymnasium for the soul. So I did a web search for gymnasium for the soul to find an image. And I found that actually there's a gym in Hungary called Soul Gym. And so this was the image that came up. This is a gym actually called Soul Gym. I want to encourage you to use the Psalms similarly to the way people use a physical gym. Work out with the Psalms. Work out when you are healthy. Use the Psalms to build your emotional and spiritual muscles. Read them silently. Read them out loud. Memorize Psalms. Do exercises with the Psalms to build those muscles so that, like Jonah, the Psalms will help you in those desperate times. Use the Psalms to work out when you are healthy, and use the Psalms to work out for rehab and for healing. Work out with the Psalms when you're down in the depths. Poetry, the Psalms are poetry, and poetry can be really useful for processing trauma. We see this in the Bible with Psalms, with Lamentations. Writing like this is still helpful. My wife Miriam sometimes helps people use poetry to process trauma. I read more than I write, and I find reading the Psalms and rolling with their emotions really helpful. And really helpful, especially as I'm rebuilding strength from dark times. The Psalms have helped my emotional rehabilitation and spiritual healing. The Psalms are helpful as we cry to God from the depths. And Jonah used Psalm to cry to God from the depths. And do you know who else quoted a psalm of desperation in his darkest hour? Jesus did. As Jesus was dying on the cross, he cried out using the words of Psalm 22, and the Gospels actually quote it in the original language, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As Jesus was suffering his tortuous death, as Jesus was taking the full weight of God's anger at our sins, Jesus quoted a psalm, Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is an amazing psalm anticipating Jesus' suffering, Jesus' death and his resurrection, and was written about 1,000 years before these events. And I really recommend looking at it later, because today we're focusing on Jonah. Jesus also referred to Jonah. Jesus quoted the Psalms, like Jonah, as he suffered, but Jesus also said that Jonah's suffering and salvation anticipated his death and resurrection, his suffering and salvation, the salvation he brings. Let me read to you from Matthew 12. It's on a slide, but probably too small up there. The religious leaders of Jesus' day heard the authority of Jesus' teaching and saw the threat in Jesus' popularity among the people. And we read from Matthew 12, verse 38, that then some of the Pharisees who teach the law said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Show us that there's validity to what you're doing." Jesus answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." See, Jonah shows us a pattern, a shadow, foreshadows Jesus. Jesus fulfills the pattern. Jesus, the full reality, showing us God's full power and salvation. But Jonah's remarkable story gives us a little taste, a little precursor of it. So Jonah suffered God's judgment for his sin, and he went down into the depths. And Jonah was miraculously raised up by God on the third day and went out calling people to turn back to God and be saved. Jesus suffered God's judgment for our sin. Jesus went down into the grave, and Jesus was miraculously raised up by God on the third day. And through Jesus, all are called to turn back to God and be saved. God's great saving plan in Jesus was not plan B or an afterthought. God's great saving plan in Jesus was foreshadowed centuries earlier, including in the work of Jonah. Jesus is God's great saviour, predicted over the centuries. This is not some small thing that some bump in your life is going to interrupt. He's the saviour you can rely on. Particularly if you're down in the depths today, can I encourage you to turn to Jesus? Jesus fulfills Jonah and God's great saving plan across the centuries. Jesus suffered and understands suffering. Jesus suffered and died for you. And Jesus rose again as Lord and Saviour. Jesus offers you life with him forever when you trust Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour. Jesus is the only true Saviour. Now, the world around us will offer you lots of alternative saviours, lots of alternative things that will encourage you to look to give you your hope in, that will turn things around and save you. Whether it's money, sport, success, the ideal partner, sex, travel, career, popularity. There are so many things that it's tempting for us to make idols, tempting for us to bow down to, thinking that these things will give our life meaning and purpose and save us from despair. But they will not. Only God has the power to give us lasting salvation. As we read in Jonah's prayer, I'll start from verse 6 with the reminder of God's saving power. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, Jonah prays. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. It is a tragedy when people turn their back on the loving ruler of the universe. It is tragic when people reject the God who offers them salvation and life with him forever. When people turn their back on God to worship something else as an idol, anything else as an idol, because all those alternate idols will ultimately prove worthless. But it is a joy when people turn to God and know his salvation. If you know God's salvation, praise God. Can I encourage you to follow Jonah's example? Tell people about it. Listen to the way Jonah's prayer ends. Jonah ends his prayer telling us how he will respond to God's salvation. Verse 9. He says, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, with sacrifice to you, what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Say, salvation comes from the Lord. Tell people about your eternal security with God. If knowing Jesus has helped you through significant challenges in your life, well, tell people about that. Maybe even practice telling one another after the service. That'll be encouraging to each other. So I could say that I couldn't have got through the week when my mother died without Jesus. Someone else could say, I wouldn't have got through my wife's journey with cancer without Jesus. What could you say? I couldn't have got through without Jesus. Let's praise God by telling one another how God has helped us through the depths. Let's praise God by telling one another and telling others about God's great salvation. So our chapter finishes with Jonah looking forward to praising God for his salvation. And we read in verse 10, "And God commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." And so it continues from there. God commanded the whale, Jonah's brought up from the depth, and is now free on land again. And others will continue that next week. Praise God for saving Jonah from the depths. I praise God for everyone here who is rejoicing in God's salvation. But I want to close with a word to the people who here who are feeling they are down in the depths. If you are struggling in the depths, I want to reassure you. Jesus sees you and understands. God welcomes you to cry to him. No matter what you have done, no matter how you're feeling, God welcomes you to cry to him, whether you could see any light or not. God welcomes you to cry to him, whether you have lots of words tumbling out all in a mess, or whether you have no words at all. If you just groan as you pray, God welcomes you to cry to him. God welcomes us to come. And God graciously gives us words we can use when we have some, such as the Psalms and the Lord's Prayer. Perhaps most importantly of all, I want to remind you that the darkness will not win. Jesus suffered and died and took the full force of evil. But Jesus then rose from the grave. He has conquered death and evil. And if you trust Jesus as your loving Lord and Saviour, you can look forward to eternity with him. We look forward to the day when, as it says in Revelation, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. No matter how deep the depths we're in, when we're with Jesus, God's salvation is secure. We could always cry to him, knowing he welcomes us to come to him through Jesus Christ, and we are secure in him. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jonah, thank you for the way you saved Jonah. Thank you for Jonah's cry to you. Thank you for the psalmist's cry to you. Help us, Lord, to cry to you, to know you are the true Saviour, that you offer us secure salvation in Jesus. Lord, we pray for your comfort for those who are suffering. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to encourage one another. Help us to praise you when we see your salvation, and to cry to you when we are desperate. Amen.